but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/preparenow to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Coors Banquet, the beer born in the heart of wildfire country, supports those who run toward the fire. So raise a banquet and help protect our firefighters. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Your purchase of Coors Banquet supports the $250,000 donation to Wildland Firefighter Foundation. This purchase is not tax deductible.
That's you first thing in the morning.
We have turn signals for a reason.
That's you stuck in traffic. And your first cup of coffee. That's you finishing that report for your boss. And an email. And another.
Move over.
That's traffic again. And making dinner. And that's you at the end of a long day relaxing into a new Lazy Boy recliner. It's the Long Live the Lazy event at Lazy Boy with recliners starting at just $499.
Lazy Boy. Oh boy, now it means so much more.
Guys, did you know your testosterone level impacts your energy, libido, sleep, weight, hair loss, mood, and even ED? And right now, Revive Men's Health Portland will check your testosterone for free. They've helped thousands of men since 2011 feel and perform better. They're so confident they can help you, they even guarantee it. Schedule your free testosterone test, exam, and consultation today. Call 503-944-1111. That's 503-944-1111. Or visit revivemenshealth.com.
Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you bought that TV in the parking lot. It just happened to not come in a box, or include a remote. And when you finally managed to turn it on, all it displayed was the menu of Grumpy's Tacos. So use Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Have a savings heyday on apparel for the whole family right now at Coastal.
Coastal Farm and Ranch. We're just what the country needs.
Shop now at Coastal to enjoy the best summer at the best value. Today through August 8th, visit in-store or online for incredible deals, including apparel from Ariat. Like buy one, get one half off select men's and women's Ariat jeans. And 20% off Ariat woven western shirts for men and women. Plus, it's that time of year again for back-to-school wardrobes. Coastal will help you save with 20% off all Wrangler apparel for kids. Collect savings for your next trip to Coastal, too, with a free $20 gift card when you buy $100 of Carhartt apparel for the family.
Coastal Farm and Ranch, we're just what the country needs.
These fresh cut deals are for a limited time only through August 8th at Coastal.
Hey, it's Canzano, and things are heating up at Shoe Mill. The semi-annual clearance sale is on, and you don't want to miss it. Save big on styles from top brands you know and trust. Sandals and sneakers to casual styles for every season. Hurry in for the best selection. These deals won't last. Shop the semi-annual clearance now at all Shoe Mill locations and ShoeMill.com. Shoe Mill. They put the world at your feet.
Did you know the majority of Oregon's wildfires are started by people? Just one careless flick of a small cigarette can spark a big wildfire. Never discard smoking materials out a car window, in bark mulch, or in outdoor vegetation. Make sure your smoking material's completely out and properly disposed of by using a fire-safe ashtray or container. We all love Oregon's wild landscapes. Let's do our part, too.
Keep Oregon green.
Learn more about wildfire prevention at keeporegongreen.org.
Call or ask for Roof Life of Oregon, 925-0125.
From the Pacific Office Automation Studios, this is KXTG Portland, your home of Dan Patrick. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. 750 The Game. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Portland State playing that football game November 15th, Providence Park. You know, if anybody who's listened to this show knows that I am irritated that the Timbers years ago squeezed Portland State out of Providence Park. Systematically squeezed them out of the park. There's no other way to put it. That was their home stadium for all those years. And the Timbers came in, they made all those renovations, good on them for making those renovations, but you just kind of squeezed them out. They've been out in Hillsboro playing games for the last six seasons. They're going to get to play one football game this year, November 15th at Providence Park. And I think that's a good thing. And I like to see some people show up, but I can't drive you all to the game. Nothing else going on in college football that day in the state of Oregon. So get yourself over there and watch Portland State play Montana. It'll be a good game. Caitlin Clark. The phenomenon of Caitlin Clark. The ups and downs of Caitlin Clark. Difficult and divisive rookie season in the WNBA. We, you know, in the state of Oregon, we're a women's college basketball state. With Oregon and Oregon State, University of Portland, Portland State, Sabrina Ionescu, all, you know, WNBA coming to Portland. We are a basketball state. Our next guest has a book that you'll be interested in. It's called On Her Game. It's currently number two in the New York Times bestseller list. It talks about that difficult and divisive first year of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. Christine Brennan, USA Today, you've read her there. She dove into it, did some fantastic reporting, and is going to take you sort of inside that first year. She's also going to be at Barnes & Noble on August 8th at Clackamas Town Center. She will be signing the book. She'll be making an appearance. And she's going to have a launch event at the Sports Bra the following day on August 9th. But first, she's coming on this radio show. Christine Brennan joining us now. Where are you today, Christine?
Hey, John. Great to be with you. I'm actually in Washington, D.C. Rare visit to my home in the midst of this wild, wonderful whirlwind, we'll call it, of a book tour for On Her Game over the last month, where I've been in Iowa, shocking, Iowa, Indiana, Ohio, but also Chicago, just in Cincinnati, and then even in along the East Coast. People love Caitlin Clark everywhere. So, but I am home in D.C. today, and it's kind of nice to be back for a couple days.
What's a you know, a book signing and a Caitlin Clark book event like in Iowa?
It is unbelievable. Great question. I don't know that I'll ever be more loved than I was in Iowa City 2 weeks ago, where they had to move it. They had one venue, the University of Iowa Athletics Hall of Fame, wherever, and they decided about a week ago to move it to a huge venue, huge space in Carver Hawkeye Arena, their big meeting room that holds over 300, and it was packed. And I also, on that one, I was honored to be joined by Lisa Bluter, the longtime head coach and Caitlin Clark's coach at Iowa, and then the current coach, who was the assistant at the time, and that's Jan Jensen. And so we had a great conversation. People were just were wonderful, and I don't know that I've ever seen so many 22 jerseys and gold and black. And interesting, so I went to Northwestern, and you know, Iowa and Northwestern certainly would be rivals in the Big Ten. I cannot tell you the number of books I signed that night saying "Go Hawkeyes," or you know, "Good luck to the Hawkeyes," or "Keep enjoying Caitlin," or whatever. But it's like, this is killing me. You know, "Go Hawkeyes" is not something I normally write, but for all those wonderful people absolutely, they wanted that written or whatever they wanted written, I'd write it, of course. And people were lined up for hours. I think it was 3 hours after the event, still signing books. So I'm gratified and how wonderful it is. And they love her there. And, of course, that's a big part of the story, the love of Caitlin Clark, selling out the arenas, the TV ratings, the Big Ten, the long lines, people waiting in line, you know, for hours in the cold in January and February, her junior, especially senior year, in some of our biggest arenas in the country, as if it's a Springsteen concert or Beyonce or Taylor Swift. And they were all waiting in line to watch a woman play basketball. That is a sentence I never thought I would utter in my career. That's how big a deal this moment is, in my opinion, with Caitlin Clark.
I have three daughters. It warmed me. You know, we didn't get Caitlin Clark at the Portland Regional, but we had, you know, Juju and USC, and to watch my 9-year-old, 8-year-old daughter at the time, you know, just waiting with great anticipation to see Juju Watkins play. And I thought, we've crossed a line of delineation here. We have moved into a new place. On her game, you've written this book about Caitlin Clark's rookie season. I expected the WNBA to have wide arms, open arms, the players to have open arms, but it wasn't all open arms, was it?
No, it was not, and it still isn't. We're seeing a lot of what I have in the book, and by the way, there's logo threes jumping off the page and talking about Caitlin as a basketball player, but an entertainer, the high wire act. You know, that's why people watch, right? It's like Tiger Woods in golf. People who didn't even know the difference between a birdie or a bogey would tune in to watch Tiger's final round, playing their Sundays around his final round at the Masters. Same thing here, where people couldn't care less about women's basketball, but they want to see her. They want to see those passes. They want to see her chucking it from the parking lot. You know, it's going in. The WNBA, I say this in the book. So again, there's a lot of wonderful magic and, you know, sports and fun and behind the scenes with Caitlin. She answered 40 to 50 questions. But I also try to move it along. Don't dwell on anything too long, but I do go into the failure of the WNBA to prepare for the moment. And, it's not even just my voice saying that. I have the great Dr. Harry Edwards, a black man, civil rights leader, sociologist, the impetus for the 1968 Mexico City Black Power Salute by the two U.S. sprinters. Dr. Harry Edwards, in the book, loves Caitlin Clark, loves her, thinks she's so important, says the WNBA failed the players, and then goes on in very important paragraphs. I'm honored to have his voice in the book, talking about, you've got it, they've never seen anything like this before. You know, this is a 74% black league. You've got a white woman coming in. All these women who deserved, we would have thought might have been the superstars, transcended stars, being discussed in the produce section at the grocery store. You know, not Maya Moore, not Candace Parker, not Cheryl Swoops, but Caitlin Clark, she's the one. And you could understand how that could ruffle feathers and make people upset, especially in our polarized society, set against a political, you know, presidential election, polarized, obviously, Americans on all sides of these issues. And the WNBA completely failed, according to Harry Edwards. They have meetings, seminars, talk it through. You can make a case, John, that no league has ever dealt with anything quite like this, any sports league. And at such an important inflection time and a moment where you know, the WNBA was literally, the Indiana Fever at least, becoming like a men's professionally, you know, sports team, you know, and that kind of love and interest and the hits on social media. And the WNBA was nowhere to be found to help these women, not because they're damsels in distress. They are not. They're great athletes. Most of them are college graduates, products of Title IX. The law that has changed American playing fields and, frankly, changed America. But the WNBA didn't do anything to kind of help them through this, talk them through this, understand that you, as Harry Edwards says, you're the ones, the foundation, and Caitlin Clark and her rookie class, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, et cetera, they're standing on your shoulders. You know, any kind of conversation probably would have been helpful. Instead, it was just, you know, throw her in. And a lot of petty jealousy, as Muffet McGraw, the former Notre Dame coach, says in the book. A lot of concern, racial concern, otherwise. And that's so unfortunate, because this is the moment for the WNBA. You've got to seize this moment. This is your chance. The spotlight shining on Caitlin Clark also shines on all those players, most of them black, who never got the attention they deserve from the male-dominated mainstream sports media, but they're getting that attention now. Don't fritter that away. Anyway, that conversation is in the book.
I keep thinking back to the tour, the PGA Tour, when Tiger came on, and I can remember, the comments that were made at the Masters that were racist, you know, and I can remember everybody saying, this is going to change golf. We're going to suddenly see, you know, African-American golfers infiltrating the sport, and still, it's a country club sport. Has there been, you know, in the course of Caitlin Clark's rookie season, and maybe even now, has there been an awakening in the WNBA? Have some of this conversation, has it advanced the ball, or is it mostly disappointing and a blown opportunity by the WNBA?
You know, I have to say, this year, I'm not seeing a lot of positives, in terms of the handling of some of this. For example, you've got the, and in the book, I deal with last year's Kennedy Carter hit. It's a whole chapter called Hip Check. I also deal with the Olympic snub, a disastrous decision to not put Caitlin Clark on the Olympic team was worse by the minute. My reporting there breaking that story last year, and I have new and more information on that Olympic snub. So I deal with a lot of those issues. But you look at this year, and Kennedy Carter was last year. Well, this year you had a couple of weeks ago, Marina Mabry, who I've talked to and who really respects and likes Caitlin Clark. Dead ball situation, chippy game, everyone's kind of, you know, at each other. And here comes Marina Mabry just charging right into Caitlin Clark like a freight train. And if you've watched the replay, I'm sure you've seen this. But if not, watch it. Caitlin looks like a pinball. And it's just boom, everyone. And she wasn't injured. She's been injured for the first time since sophomore year of high school, missing a game. Unbelievable. And she's missed so many now, more than she's played. So hopefully she'll get back soon for her sake and for the WNBA's sake. But, you know, you've got Caitlin Clark not injured in that play. She gets up and you know, moves on. But you know who that ends up hurting if as Marina Mabry did that, didn't get kicked out of the game, which is absolutely egregious, immediately should have gotten kicked out, and the leadership of the WNBA the next day, Kathy Engelbert should have piped up and said, hey, that was terrible refereeing. I'm kicking you out for a game or two. We've got to make a statement here. None of that happened. But you know who this hurts? It hurts Marina Mabry, because Caitlin Clark is the economic rocket ship for this league. They may not like it. It's true. When Caitlin Clark missed those first five games due to injury, when she disappeared for those five games, so did more than half of the television audience, more than half. Not just the Fever, but the entire WNBA TV audience. When Tiger would miss a tournament, it would drop, you know, a little bit, 10, whether 15%, I've looked it up, depending on the, you know, on the season and what year and what tournament. Michael Jordan going to play baseball, yes, the NBA dropped a little bit. You know, over half of your TV audience just goes find something else to do that night. That is absolutely devastating to the WNBA and its future. It's absolutely falling off the cliff. And these players apparently either don't understand it. Where are their agents to help them understand it? Where are the general managers, the coaches, the owners? They seem to almost be frittering it away again this year. And this is not to say that Caitlin Clark can't handle herself. Of course, she gives it out. In fact, through the book, there's a lot of feistiness. Caitlin talks about that with me. I asked her 40 to 50 questions for the book. She answered every one. She's better than you'd hoped she would be, just so mature, so great, so kind, funny. But in this case, we're talking about just cheap shots of someone that is absolutely essential for your financial future in the league and, of course, the collective bargaining agreement that is now, you know, up for grabs. All of this wrapped into this 123-year-old woman who just wants to play basketball.
Christine Brennan, USA Today columnist with us. Her book's called On Her Game. She will be signing that book and talking to basketball fans, WNBA fans, Caitlin Clark fans, sports fans, as part of a book signing that will take place at Clackamas Town Center. You know, that is coming up on August the 8th at Clackamas Town Center, and will make an appearance at the Sports Bra on August the 9th. Christine, the Olympic snub, Caitlin Clark not being on the Olympic team has to go down as one of the biggest misses, because I think viewership, interest in that team, Merit alone justified her being on the team. Why did she get snubbed?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, her statistics were better than Diana Taurasi's. Yet they put 42-year-old Diana Taurasi on the team, kind of a going away present. I've been around a while and covered the Olympics since 1984 in LA, so I've covered a lot of Olympic team decisions, trials, you know, the works over all those years, 41 years. I've never seen a worse decision, and I've never seen an entity like a national governing body like USA Basketball is to literally decide that they're going to just save a spot for a 42-year-old who, by the way, Taurasi had been injured, missed four games right before the All-Star break and then the Olympic break last year. And then, of course, they put her on the team. And in the most important game, a gold medal game that was ragged, U.S. won by one, but U.S. was way down against France early in the third quarter and in trouble, needed a three-point shooter. That might have been helpful to have Caitlin Clark there. But Caitlin Clark and Diana Taurasi both played the same number of minutes and scored the same number of points in the most important game. So if you need Diana Taurasi, and you know what those numbers were, 0 and 0. The difference is Taurasi was on the bench in Paris. Courtside, and Caitlin Clark was 4,000 miles away in the United States. TV ratings dropped, lowest TV ratings according to NBC since 2008. All this is in the book. Also, just the completely contradictory statements. You have Jen Rosati, the chair of the Women's Selection Committee. Caitlin was playing, you know, great at the time. And you have Dawn Staley. She wasn't playing so great. And then Dawn Staley, now on NBC, at the Olympics, now she's head and shoulders above everybody else. You're telling me all these great basketball minds who couldn't, by June, see that Caitlin was already playing terrifically? She had 30 points and made 7 threes the night that I was able to break the news that she was not on the Olympic team. 30 points and 7 threes, selling out all the arenas, of course, big arenas, moving the games for her. But forget that. Let's talk about the actual on-court playing. She was, within 3 or 4 games, had solved most of the defensive problems, never had 10 turnovers as she did in the first game, initial game, rookie year, May 14th, got it together. And all these great basketball minds who could see the defense, full court defense on a rookie, obviously, clearly, getting the most important, being treated as the most important player in the league because of how they were defending her from the get-go. And you're going, well, maybe she's not playing well. Well, she was playing great. And her stats were excellent by that point. And again, also, who doesn't want to grow their sport worldwide, right? The NHL is going to shut down for February to send its players to the Olympics in Milan, 2026 Winter Olympic Games, to grow the game worldwide. Why does the NFL play in Europe? Why does Major League Baseball play in Japan? You want to bring eyeballs to your sport. Caitlin Clark is the attention magnet to end all attention magnets in the history of women's team sports. Never seen anyone like her. You bring her, you've got journalists from around the world covering it, the world reaching girls and boys who never would be reached by women's basketball. And when the spotlight shines on Caitlin Clark, of course it's also shining on the majority black players. You know, it's a 74% black league, but the women's Olympic team, most of the players were black. They would get the attention that they deserved that they never got because Caitlin Clark was there playing a few minutes each day. That's the mistake among many mistakes.
Yeah.
The pettiness.
Were they afraid of, though? Were they afraid that if she only got a few minutes that the Caitlin Clark fans were going to go bananas and be critical of USA? Yeah.
Yeah, I did report that. I had two people, independent of each other, I happened to bump into journalists. You know, we just talk to people. It's people business. You chat. I was at a game, and I saw one, and I said, is Caitlin going to make the team? Caitlin Clark, this was before I was able to break the news that I had the list. It was a few hours before. No, I don't think so. They don't want to have her because they're worried how her fans are going to react. And I laughed out loud, John. I laughed out loud at that. I said, what? What? You're joking. You know, that USA Basketball, the behemoth that it is, right, men's, women's basketball, that they are worried about internet, you know, social media, fans being upset. And then I heard it again from another wonderful veteran, someone I trust, a few hours later, completely unrelated to the first person. Yes. The juvenile amateur hour, which we're seeing in the leadership of the WNBA, I hate to say it because I like Kathy Engelbert, And the NBA, where's the NBA, Big Brother helping out? And not, you know, nowhere to be found
right. On
so many of these decisions. And that's the same thing. Just, again, a very juvenile, amateurish, like, you know, slumber party kind of thing. You know, it's just absolutely stunning to me because this is the moment. This is the player, whether you like it or not. The eyeballs, the fans, you're going to make more money. Rising tide lifts all boats. Because Caitlin Clark is there getting these TV ratings and attendance, record attendance. And yet, you know, somehow they seem to be frittering that, or at least unable to understand the magnitude of the moment.
I kind of wondered, she ends up with a Nike sneaker deal, like a 10-year deal. Sabrina had been at Oregon before her. Caitlin went to Iowa. I wonder if she had gone somewhere else, does she become Caitlin Clark, or is she bigger? That, you know, was Iowa the right place? Were there other places she almost went?
Yeah, including Oregon. And Sabrina took her around, was her host. We'd love to see pictures of that, right, or videos of that.
Right. Young,
and they probably exist, maybe. We weren't probably paying it too much attention then. I mean, obviously, Sabrina, what happened in 2020, right, with COVID? Oh, I mean, that
was
going to
be her
right?
year.
That was the
it was
Oregon
her year. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Of all that, there's so much heartbreak, and obviously with COVID, that has nothing to do with sports and the deaths and the horror of COVID, but and people missing so much. But if you go to sports and the missed opportunities, there, Sabrina's right up there for me, and that great Oregon team that never got a chance, you know, to play for the title, play any games at all in the NCAA tournament as that all shut down. But so she looked at Oregon, she looked at Oregon State, she committed to Notre Dame. A soft commitment, but committed to Notre Dame. Muffet McGraw was kind of wondering, where's the social media post saying I'm going to Notre Dame? That never came. She kept calling, and Caitlin kept calling the Iowa coaches, and then wanted to stay home and go to Iowa. I think if she goes somewhere else, she's not Caitlin Clark. I think it's kind of the opposite. You know, it's Muffet McGraw, and I've got this kind of what if in the book. I really try to have the magic of all of this in the book that kids can read, parents, grandparents. You know, it's an adult book, but definitely 12-year-old boys and girls can enjoy every second, and I'm signing so many for kids as I do this book tour. Because, you know, if Caitlin goes to Notre Dame, well, she's surrounded by better players than were at Iowa. Nothing against Iowa. Kate Martin was terrific, but no one else is going to the WNBA. Well, Notre Dame is a perennial top 5, top 10 team with sending tons of players to the WNBA, right? So Caitlin could not have been shooting from the next county. Muffet McGraw would not have allowed it. Mm. Those incredible logo threes, the fast pace, just chuck it up and, you know, there it goes in and she's sideways when she's hitting the shot. Muffet McGraw told me for the book, that just wouldn't have happened. UConn, Connecticut, Gino Auriemma never recruited her because he had Paige Beckers, same age. Paige was the number one recruit in the nation. Caitlin was number four, even though they're only 3.5 hours apart, you know, Minneapolis and Des Moines. You know, they played against each other, knew each other well, but Caitlin was never recruited. Well, again, if she'd gone to UConn, she wouldn't be Caitlin Clark because she would have been a cog, a very important cog in the wheel. So I think it's great she went to Iowa. There's something nostalgic about staying at home, a little bit of Cal Ripken-esque, you know, like this is our kid, 4 years there. And, of course, the Big Ten Network is huge, right, just showing the country and ESPN and the love of Iowa basketball. I go into that, too, the 6-on-6 girl basketball where they couldn't cross center court, going all the way back to the 1920s. All of that built up, you know, creating this incredible girl next door, now all grown up. America, here she is, Caitlin Clark.
Christine Brennan will speak and sign books at Barnes & Noble August the 8th, Clackamas Town Center. Launch event at the Sports Bra on August 9th. The book is on her game. Christine, last question. If she never, God forbid, if she never played another game, she still would be the most impactful WNBA player in history to this point. What happens to Caitlin Clark over her career? How does this go for her? If you can look at the sample size you have and what you learned about her, how is the next 5 to 15 years going to go for Caitlin?
Great question. She needs to get healthy, obviously, and it's so strange that she's injured because she, as I said, the last game she missed was a rolled ankle, badly sprained ankle, sophomore year of high school, November of 2017. And she, again, the maturity, 22 going on 40 or 50, I say in the book, just incredible maturity to handle so much. But when she you know, is playing throughout. She had migraines during her college days, sometimes wanted to take a day off, never did, because she knew people were traveling, you know, from hundreds of miles away to watch her play. She felt that responsibility to those fans that were coming to watch her play, even as a kid, as a sophomore, junior, and, you know, senior in college. And so I think she gets healthy. What I could see for right now, the immediate future, you know, keep her out. Don't rush her back. Maybe they probably rushed her back for these other injuries, four different injuries. Again, just so unusual for her. And you know, this is just, you know, something that is so disheartening for her personally, even though she's keeping her spirits up and it's fun to watch on the bench doing all the normal Caitlin stuff that she does. But I think you get her back this year. If she's healthy, they're probably going to make the playoffs. And then it's anyone's guess. If with Caitlin healthy and if she's really playing like she did against New York, where she had those three threes within 38 seconds, stunning. If people haven't seen it, go find it. It's just a remarkable, magical moment in the WNBA and in her career. If she can play that way with the team that's around her, they could really, you know, make a big run in the playoffs this year. I think that's the initial hope. Then figure out whatever she did in the trainings, whatever the muscle thing is, figure all that out in the off season. And I think she'll want to have a long career. I could easily see her doing 10, 12, 14, 15 years. I could see her staying in Indiana. She's a Midwestern kid. They love her in Indiana, Big Ten country, obviously a drive, an easy 6-hour drive from Iowa. You know, all of that makes sense. Her boyfriend is there in Indiana. And they love her, and the Fever Pacers organization together is one of the best run. So she's getting the brains and the merchandising and the social media might power 20-plus digital media reporters on the Pacers Fever team of Pacers Sports and Entertainment. She's getting all of that in an NBA, a WNBA team. So they really know how to promote her, sell her, have billboards, and do it right. So I think she'd like to stay there as long as she can, win some titles. I think she will. I think she's that good, and I think she'll be seen as one of the greats of all time by the time she's done.
Christine Brennan, I appreciate you giving us your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you when I'm in Portland in a week from tomorrow, at Barnes & Noble in Clackamas.
8 days away. Christine Brennan will be at Barnes & Noble Clackamas Town Center. The book is On Her Game. Stick around.
For over 45 years, Pacific Office Automation has been solving problems for business owners. However, the needs of our customers and potential customers have changed dramatically over the years, so we've changed too. If you run a business and want to find out how Pacific Office Automation can help improve your business processes and costs, call us today to request a free workflow audit. Whether it's managed print services, IT services, or data security, we're here to help. PacificOffice.com. Problem solved.
Hey, John Canzano here on behalf of First Call Heating and Cooling. I am here with my middle daughter, Zia. Zia, say hi to the folks at home.
Hi.
Why am I dragging Zia onto this radio show? Well, because the comfort of our home and my family is important to me. It's why we use the experts at First Call Heating and Cooling. Don't get stuck in the heat this summer. By the way, Zia's going to be doing her homework next year in middle school. I want her to be comfortable in her room, not worried about the temperature one way or the other. Tell them where to find them, Zia.
FirstCallHeat.com.
That's FirstCallHeat.com.
CCB number 238. 8967.
We all know the sounds of stress, but you may not know that your daily stress can affect you physically. Stress can give you sleepless nights, a pounding headache, stomach pains, or worse. If you've lost a job, worry about your next meal, or having trouble making it through the day, we can help. Text stress to 211-211. To find a solution.
Man, look at that return of the old king, man.
Oh, wow. Emotional.
King of the Hill is back.
They got a Bob's in the airport now. Oh, that's Boba.
World has changed, Dad.
Bobby wants to bring that new girl over for dinner.
The Vegan? What the hell am I supposed to feed her?
Can't we just put some grass in a bowl?
From Mike Judge and Greg Daniels.
Ready to make some memories, Dad?
Let's freaking go.
A Hulu original series, King of the Hill. Season premiere August 4th. Streaming on Hulu.
If something happens to you, what happens to your family? Will they struggle financially? Will they be able to afford the home you built together? With Ethos, you can get life insurance coverage in minutes. Get up to $2 million in coverage for as little as $2 a day. All online with no medical exam. Just answer a few health questions. Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Rates may vary. Billed monthly. Sample rate 10-year term life policy for a 35-year-old healthy non-smoking male.
When you stay in your home, what you love gets to stay too. From the gardens that grow wild to the grandkids that run wilder. From the Friday night baseball games to the Sunday morning brunches. Even the daily crosswords and weekly book clubs. There's room for it all with help from Home Instead, the largest in-home senior care network. With over 30 years of trusted experience delivering the peace of mind you deserve. Visit HomeInstead online for a better what's next.
Summer is a time to feel and look your best, but I'm not talking about your tan or your abs. Guys, I'm talking about your hair. Restore that bald spot, reverse your receding hairline, or add volume to decades of thinning during Advanced Hair's once yearly summer savings event. Advanced Hair's simple one-day treatment begins to regrow your own natural hair the very next day, and it can even grow for life. Did I mention Advanced Hair even guarantees your new hair will grow? Take advantage of your flexible summer calendar and get the most hair for your dollar during Advanced Hair's best offer ever. The summer savings event is on for a limited time, so schedule your free consultation and get the details today. 503-832-HAIR. One-day treatment, life-changing results. With Advanced Hair, your new hair is guaranteed to grow. Check out the incredible before and afters and get your savings details while they're still available. That's 503-832-HAIR or advancedhair.com. That's advancedhair.com.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Yeah, we got to be better. I mean, like I said, our offense in general, too many drops on offense as a group. It was a bad day. I mean, it was a really, really bad day on offense. And it all stems from passion we play with. Is it okay to not make a play? And if you accept it, then you accept it. And that's who you're going to be. Don't be mad going 5-7. It's okay. Don't be mad going 6-6. Don't be mad going 3-9 because somebody has to go those records. There's going to be tons of teams who do it. Why not us? We didn't practice bad. What I mean by that is, like, we didn't bust. We didn't MA. We threw one pick. Like, we didn't practice bad. We didn't practice with passion. We didn't care if we scored a touchdown. We didn't care if there was an interception, right? We didn't care if somebody made a great play for most of practice. We were just out here practicing. And to me, the best teams, it matters all the time. You want to win everything. And today, we didn't have that mindset. We didn't want to win. We wanted to practice. And those are two different models, mindsets to me.
You ready?
Good practice of complacency. It was a good practice for a bad team. It was an average practice for an average team. That's what today was.
Kenny Dillingham, Arizona State coach. Steven, this is what coaches do. I like Dillingham. I like him a lot. He's got some wisdom, but above all, wisdom for his age. Above all, he's got some energy. He's got great energy. They are talking at Arizona State now about building the equivalent of the Moshofsky Center for Oregon fans. You know, the Mo is this, football and other sports practice facility. I think 16 different sports have used it. Football is building their own thing, but the Moshofsky Center has been set up as, this pregame tailgate area. Arizona State is now talking about they're soliciting donations to build their version of the Moshofsky Center so that they can practice in it and then they can use it on game days. Dillingham is saying he wants it to be like the 16th hole at the Waste Management golf tournament. So that's what Dillingham's getting after. I like his style. You?
I do too, yeah, because, Arizona State had the surprise year picked last and then makes the college football playoff, has the great game against Texas, almost wins. And so, now people are picking them to win the Big 12, and they're the favorite to win Big 12 with Sam Levitt back. So you can't let them read their own headlines. And look, he's talking like, look, someone's going to lose games. And the Big 12 is one of those conferences, John, where I mean, you could go 1 through 17 or whatever it is and how many in that conference. I don't even know anymore. But you could go 1 through the bottom of that conference, and anybody could win on any given day. So I think he has to keep those guys ready. And I love the fact, you know, he is a player's coach, and you watch videos of him with his players. His players love him and adore him, but he's also willing to call you out. And I think it's a lot of the Dan Lanning style. We see that with Oregon. Lanning is very hard on his players when he coaches them, but his players love him. And I think that's what Dylan Hamm's kind of developing and, you know, making down there in Tempe.
Arizona State is the favorite to among the favorites to win the Big 12. Kansas State and Texas Tech and Utah, all with similar odds. But Arizona State's 6-1 to win the Big 12. Kansas State 6-1, Texas Tech 6-1, Utah 6-1, Baylor, depending on where you go, 6.5 or 7-1. Then it's TCU, Iowa State, Kansas, BYU. Then a big drop-off to Colorado and the rest of that conference. I kind of look at the top of the Big 12 in football, and I think there's 7 or 8 teams that could win it, Stephen. It's that muddled, but there's a huge division for me. After BYU, Kansas, Iowa State, it drops way off to Colorado, Cincinnati, Houston, West Virginia, Arizona, Oklahoma State, UCF at the bottom. But I kind of want to pick Dillingham to repeat or Kyle Whittingham to figure it out and Utah to do what we thought they were going to do a year ago. We watched the former Pac-12.